There we go. Aha! Yes, there
We are
seems to
live.
be
Hurrah!
seems to be. Yes, it is. It is. It's weird because it seems to... Well, you probably have a little bit of silence on the beginning of the stream, especially in the VOD. I've noticed that because it seems to actually capture us before I press the go live button, which is mildly concerning, honestly. But as we said, as we promised, we are back again. We are back
I press the go
after
live button, which is not.
Thursday's slightly aborted stream. If you're not in the know, let me fill you in what happened. We tried to do this stream previously on Thursday. Trig, who pushes out the stream, he's the frame pusher, as I call him. He opens his trench coat and pushes out the frames. Trig had a power cut. Like, his whole street went out, basically. Wasn't just him. So there's not really a lot we can do about that.
Talk about sort of confirmation bias and paranoia creating. I mean, there we are talking about conspiracy theories. Power goes out. So that was it. I was outside looking for the black helicopters, waiting for the van to come around the corner. And 2 hours later, the power came back on. And it was all fine. They hadn't come for me. It was just a false alarm this time.
Yes, it was. We'll go over the announcements again. First announcement, I have put the unlisted power cut stream in the description. It's by, you know, it's under unlisted power cut stream. As you will no doubt see. Second of all, very, very good news, Trig. As you know, we have been
I
monetized.
know, this is amazing. I wonder how long that's going to last.
We'll see how long that lasts, but it's kind of funny that basically the channel's got fully monetized now. So that's nice. We'll be able to make a little bit extra shekels off it. It means, as you can see here, there is a show support button. We have a super chat button. You can give stickers. I'll try and set up some sort of membership at some point, because that can be quite good. Generally, I don't like going through YouTube's ecosystem, so. What I always do at the beginning of the stream is we prefer to get donations through Streamlabs. So what I will do is I will put in the Streamlabs link here in chat, and then I will pin it. If you're having an echo, that's on your end. There's no I'm listening to the stream literally right now, and there's no echo. So, but yeah, the Streamlabs link is there. I've pinned the message to the chat, so if you guys want your stuff read out on screen, that's the best way to do it. But if I know a lot of people like using the Super Chat system, so if you want to use it, it is there. I don't know, do you have any announcements, Trig?
I don't know. People are still saying fix the echo, and I can't hear any echo either. I don't know what it is. I do have the channel running, but it is muted. There shouldn't be an echo.
Yeah, no, I don't see an echo anywhere.
No.
Yes. The other announcement I want to make, actually, HK9410 has just super chatted, and that brings me on to my next point. For $5, saying have a proper super chat in celebration of monetization. Thank you very
Thank
much.
you.
Because we cut out last week, there's three donations I wasn't able to read out. I just want to read those out quickly. We have a $2 donation here from Glowy. Saying misinformation and misdirection is the favorite tactics of those in power. If Pizzagate had any validity, it had probably been buried under the assumption under the assumptions of misinformation. Again, this is probably a bit out of context, but I want to do it before we really move on, because you know it's kind of a cleanup from last week's, I guess this week's debacle of the power cut. So thank you for the $2 there, Glowy. Another $1 from Glowy saying keep Vouch away from the kids. That's an evergreen statement, in my opinion. Vouch should never be near the kids. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And we have, as I mentioned, HK9410, the finest of the experimental rifles, saying, just got here. Is this conspiracy? Is this the conspiracy theories that are true stream? No,
No.
it is not. It is how to navigate information, basically.
Yeah.
It's how to navigate, as we said, it's navigating the rabbit hole. Which actually neatly brings us on to what our topic is, because a lot of people will be lost since we're
Yes.
really just covering the events of Thursday and a channel update. I don't know,
Which,
Trig, do you want to give us a proper intro?
well, I mean, we can do. I was just going to say that as we were busy doing the stream on Thursday. The very following day, this is how current and ahead of things we are. The New York Times brings out an article saying, "Don't go down the rabbit hole. Don't listen to the people. Don't listen to anything. Just only believe us." Literally, the opposite of what we were trying to discuss on the stream, which is I mean, here we are. I'll just push this across there. And yeah, they were basically talking about misinformation. It's there, and the best way of dealing with it is to close your eyes, stick your fingers in your ears, and essentially trust the New York Times, because they would never deceive you.
Well, the entire premise of this is, especially in the light of stuff like QAnon, we'll be talking quite a lot about QAnon, we'll talk about Pizzagate, we'll talk about Epstein, and we'll talk about some of the mainstream coverage of all those things. It's really how not to lose your mind with the absolute fire hose of information that's presented to us. I'm gonna do a little spiel about critical thinking and how to. It's really funny because this feels like somebody watched that half of the stream, just like panic, panic. I gotta stop them from doing this, because they even talk about the fact that you can't use, like, how critical thinking, basically leads you down these rabbit holes, and just reading information that isn't true makes you believe it. It's like mental pollution stuff. It's basically like saying if you read the evil book, Satan will come into your soul. It's the equivalent. It's very almost religious thinking, in my view. I hate to be lay YouTube atheist. I'm not going to go all Thunderfoot here, but it is very kind of magical thinking. If you consume the transgressive thing, the transgressive thing will take you over.
So yeah, Charlie Wazzle, if you're watching this again, nice to be living in your head rent-free, dude. Thank you.
Don't go down the rabbit hole. Oh,
Oh, what? Are we okay?
there we go. Oh no,
Don't do
that's
that
fine.
to
Sorry,
me.
I nearly knocked over a glass of water.
Oh, okay. I thought we were having
That
a
was me. I was enunciating in flame my arms, and a glass of water just went
Don't.
little wobble
We've
there.
had so many technical issues. Don't make the oh no sound, 'cause
Oh no. That's like that was me just nearly spilling water all over my desk. So,
Fantastic, fantastic. So we'll move on from Charlie's literally cover your eyes, stick your fingers in your ears, and believe what we tell you. To a
What
little bit.
was.
I mean, it's literally this. What is it? Look, Mummy, One Punch Man fans. Don't look at them, Ricky. You don't want to be influenced by a. Oh God, no, Ricky. And yeah, that's. I love that cartoon. Thank you. Sending that
it's. I do like the variants of that cartoon. It's a bit of an older meme now, but it checks out.
over.
I quite enjoy the Ricky No memes. It is rather fun. It is a rather fun meme. But no, the premise of this stream is really to equip you to deal with, like I said, the amount of information that we've seen on the internet has caused a lot of people a lot of trouble. We'll go through it kind of step by step, but I'm sure you guys have encountered, either through mainstream media coverage or just seeing them in the wild, QAnon. It's largely, QAnon is an example of how not to navigate the rabbit hole, in that it was an event that started with some nuggets of truth, but it ended up with people talking about lizard people on the moon. And it really was, yeah, it's QAnon. Actually, that guy is he's the QAnon shaman, isn't he, I
He's
think,
the QAnon
being filmed
shaman,
by.
yeah. Who was, bless him. I mean, great optics for a fancy dress or a barbecue or some sort of thing. Kind of reminded me of Based Stick Man and all of the other sort of characters that we had cropping up in 2016, 17, etc. But yeah, a little bit of a certainly not the guy that was going to take over the government and turn things over. A good example of how batshit things seem to have gotten. But
Yeah, it's the unhelpful side. There's a lot of stuff in Q, I think, that eventually strays into what a lot of people would consider control opposition.
very
It
much
is
so.
a per it is a perfect example of how nuggets of information that are either incongruous or fascinating or just, flat out true in some cases, like what we'll come to with the Epstein stuff, which is the real smoking gun people should have focused on. They end up being turned into a conglomeration of conspiracy theories, quote unquote. And you end up in a situation where a lot of knowledge is seen as forbidden simply because it's associated with a group of people like QAnon. It's like, oh, you can't say that. That's just QAnon stuff. And it really, it that's what it morphed into. But yeah. At the core of it, it is the conspiraboomer problem. In that, how do you equip people who've gone from kind of just growing with mainstream media to navigate the internet?
Well, this is people got fried by QAnon, basically partly because there was at the early days there was a nugget of authenticity and respectability almost, because the Q bit comes from an actual clearance code.
Yes, yeah, it's Q clearance.
Which is Q clearance. Which
we should
is
start at the beginning, really.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to start at the beginning? Well, yeah, go for it.
We'll start at the beginning. First, I didn't realize this for ages because I'm retarded, and it took me ages to realize that QAnon was a reference to Q level clearance.
Yeah.
Because there's a little source here we've got from, I think it's just the State Department talking about what Q level clearance is and where it comes from. And really, QAnon, if you look at the history of it, the mainstream media history of QAnon is bullshit. It's normies feeding into normies feeding into other normies. It's like how just they don't understand how the internet works. Stuff like QAnon has existed for basically as long as 4chan has existed. I mean, it was back in its early days.
There's always been people going, "Hi, I'm a source close to the White House, and this is happening on 4chan." That's old news, yes, as you say. But yeah, I just want to interject here. National security clearance for the Department of Energy. A lot of people think the Department of Energy is you know, the electricity board over the in the States. It's not. It's sort of nuclear weapons and that type of thing. So it,
yeah, the
it,
Department
it,
of Energy is...
Is very powerful. That's really...
A funny aside, but the Department of Energy, when stuff started kicking off with the whole George Floyd riots, they were one of the biggest purchasers of ammunition in terms of government sources. Because a lot of people were like, why is the government, you know, why is the Department of Energy buying 2 million rounds of 5.56? It's like, well, they're responsible for nuclear stockpiles.
Yeah.
So... That's why.
Yeah. Can't have people raiding those nuclear bunkers and getting their hands on it. So, yes. And yes, Q clearance is essentially a civilian contractor clearance code for them.
Yes, it is.
And so someone with that clearance code is likely to have access to quite a lot of interesting stuff. And, yeah, so they started posting on... I believe it was it 8chan first or 4chan first? I can't remember.
It was 4chan first and then 8chan. This has really been interlinked with, like I said, there's been stuff like this for years on 4chan. Yeah. There's been a lot of people claiming, you know, it's very my dad works at Nintendo.
Yes.
Anyone can claim anything they want on the internet. The stuff that stopped it from turning into what QAnon turned into was that people on image boards are, well, equipped to deal with image boards. One of my stock replies when people are talking about Twitter and people being mean, it's like, you know, I used to literally post on an image board where it rained dicks. Like they had a little gift thing where it rained dicks. Just like none of this bothers me because I, you know, a lot of people who've been on the internet a long time have got, you know, they're callous, they've got weathered skin, they're able to deal with what happens. It's the internet isn't real. That's what I keep trying to tell people. What you encounter on the internet isn't real. It's not real life. You know, to paraphrase Tyler, the Creator, you can just walk away from the screen. You could just close your eyes. It's all false until it makes its way into your real life, which it unfortunately seems to do with a lot of people in negative ways. But, like, the internet doesn't real. That is the first thing you should realize while navigating the rabbit hole.
Yes. Very much
none
so.
None of this is real until you make it real. And it's fun to look at. It's fun to talk about these conspiracy theories and things like that. And it's fun to analyze some of them from a more detached point of view. And it's fun to make memes about them, because a lot of these just became memes. But my entire spiel really going into this is, as I was talking to you in private before the chat, before we started.
Yeah.
We don't know. Like, a lot of the answers to, well, what's going on here, it's just like, we don't know.
Shrug.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, exactly.
It's shrug. It's fascinating. A lot of these things we're going through, we're not saying if they are real or not a lot of the time, but we're just pointing out the incongruities and the evidence that people latched onto. I will preface this with, if YouTube wants to fuck with our channel over this, it's what we're presenting here is what happened and the reasons people latched onto them. Talking about a subject is not endorsing it. That's what that article seems to get wrong. It
Oh,
you
yeah.
can yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'll tell you what is real, though. I'll tell you what is real. The BBC reporting about Building 7 not collapse or collapsing half an hour before it actually collapsed. That was real. That actually happened. But I'm digressing. And yes, that happened,
Again,
though.
that's an incongruity.
Yeah.
Honest, like we make memes about building. If you want to get the Building 7 meme up, we make memes about Building 7.
Do I have Building 7? Where is Building 7? Oh, no.
You must be buried there. We have a load of like stock memes we bring on. There's Alex we bring out sometimes. We'll probably bring him out later. But yeah, it's funny. But like again, we don't know. We know that the official story is kind of weird, and we know that there's hilarious incongruities in it.
Oh,
Yes,
yeah.
have you heard about our Lord and Savior Building 7? Because the stuff with the 9/11 conspiracy theory we talked about before is that yes, the official story is weird, but there's a lot of alternate explanations that are less weird. Like it's actually relatively well accepted in online communities that Building 7 was an intelligence building. There was intelligence agency staff in there, and they always had a plan to destroy the building in case it was ever attacked. To just to
Yes.
wipe out the sensitive information.
It is quite concerning that the people there were people working in a building that literally at the push of a button could be demolished on the spot. Just I would be very, very unhappy about working in a building in New York after that re revelation.
Well, if you want to go back and look at our conspiracy theories that are real stream,
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff that the US government and governments worldwide have done that is completely insane and was seen as crackpot conspiracy at the time. But, 30 years have gone by, that stuff has been declassified, and it's now absolutely established fact. Things like MKUltra, which is why I think we need to be able to entertain all of these theories. We need to be able to look at them and go, this is interesting, but it's not true. This seems on balance of evidence that it could be true. This is lizard people, let's not talk about lizard people, but the whole lizard people meme is entertaining. Like you need to be able to absorb information and make judgments about it. And the idea that you should limit your horizons, I think, is the worst response to this. It's I hate to make Matrix references, but it's just take the blue pill and go back to sleep seems to be the mainstream media's answer.
Oh yeah, that New York Times thing was definitely take the blue pill, don't question, and just let us pump information at you. Go back to sleep, carry on watching, carry on going to work, carry on watching American Gladiators. You are free to do what we tell you. You are free to do what you tell you. Go to sleep, America. To paraphrase Bill Hicks, and his yes. It literally, don't go down the rabbit hole. We will tell you. We control the vertical and the horizontal. And no, you don't. Their information is there. By all means, go out and look at it. But don't lose your mind when you find something. Check it out. Check it out from multiple sources. And for God's sakes, don't believe anything. If you can prove it, prove it. But belief is where you start going wrong, because belief is where you start creating religions for yourself.
Well, there was a lot of stuff in the lead up to the 2016 election was really the birth of QAnon. There was a lot of people on 4chan and 8chan as well who were CIA Anon or
Yeah.
FBI Anon, or like I said, there was QAnon who originally, the original claim of QAnon was that he was a White House insider with Q clearance who was just relaying things to people on 4chan and generally kind of fucking about. There was a couple of posts where they posted pictures inside the White House of themselves, and then it kind of went away. But the problem came that a lot of people started claiming to be Q, and a lot of mythology came up around Q. And like I said, it was during the 2016 election, and during this time, because of people like Hillary Clinton and the Pepe incident and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL declaring that a hate symbol, it Streisand affected places like 4chan and 8chan into the mainstream.
Yes, and you had normies going there, and it literally melted their minds, sort of Raiders of the Lost Ark sort of style. They,
It did. It did. We have the meme for
it
that.
is the
I'm
meme is
quite
there.
proud of this one.
I was
Yeah.
on the ball on
There we go. There we go.
that
It's a. It's true though. It did.
Yeah.
Like I said, they, especially the baby boomers, what we now know as the conspira boomers. I don't know. What was your first encounter with QAnon, Trey, you would say?
My, I I'd seen some bits of it. I'd seen the photographs from inside the White House that were supposedly proving that this is a real person and really an inside source, and maybe it was even Donald Trump himself, that type of thing. But it always stank of PSYOP to me. It really did. Maybe I was being paranoid first because some of the earlier posts did seem to be potentially a real post or from an accurate sort of an actual person. But the problem is with anonymous boards is any fucking idiot can come on and go, "Hey, I'm Q, and by the way, this is the plan, and Donald Trump is the new Messiah, and he's going to send all of these evil pedophile Satanists straight to hell via
Well,
the."
it became self-reinforcing as well.
Yeah, exactly. And if it was a psyop, which I think it was, remember that the people that play psyops are very, very experienced at it, and they're very, very good at that particular type of game. And it just felt like that was what was happening. And a lot of people were getting brought up in it, and I don't want to say radicalized, that's not the right word. They weren't radicalized, they just ended up having an awful lot of confirmation bias, and it, as a result, ended up in what we saw on the 6th of January, which was a complete fucking clusterfuck.
Oh, actually, for things that kind of serendipitously lead into this stream, I follow a YouTube channel called George Rockel Smith. He does a lot of like video essays that are quite good. And he did one relatively recently about the whole Lizardmen thing. And he talks about the fact that what there's two factors to this really. There's like there's one that's called patternicity, which is that people will find patterns where there aren't patterns a lot of the time, even in random noise. And just because you recognize a pattern doesn't mean there is actually a pattern there.
Yes.
We'll go over the details like we did during the aborted last stream, and we'll finally get to the conclusion I was building up to when the power cut happened. But there's a whole lot of incongruous evidence. There's a whole lot of like nibbles that people bit onto that don't really fully connect together, but they led people down a rabbit hole. He said the line. They led people down a rabbit hole where they started thinking that inference and connection was proof, and patternicity is one of the kind of the big aspects in this. It really is. I think it's Michael Shermer coined the term, I think,
Okay.
in a book that he wrote, kind of about conspiracy theories and the way people latch on to information. A lot of it can be a bit reductivist. A lot of it can be I know a lot of people don't like the term conspiracy theory. They consider conspiracy theory as a term almost a psyop.
Well, I'm actually one of those because it's conspiracy theory, as the term conspiracy theory, immediately discredits it. It's like, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. When a conspiracy is a group of people getting together to do something, conspiring behind closed doors to do. People do this all the time. People conspire all the freaking time. Businesses conspire to make profit. Political movements occur conspiring all the freaking time. And to suddenly go, oh, this, that, and the other happened. Oh, you're just crazy. That's just a conspiracy theory. Well, no, it's not. What we're doing is when we're going, I think this has happened and these people have gotten together to do that, is to throw out a theory that may or may not be wacky or actually quite accurate. And the term conspiracy theory gets thrown out there and immediately discredits it somehow for some reason. And that, I think, was on purpose. In fact, there's actually documents to prove that that is actually a sort of CIA and intelligence groups literally putting the terms conspiracy theory out there as a discreditation for, people banging on about things like the Tuskegee experiments and MK Ultra back in the 60s and before, when people in the 80s started sort of pulling these things up and going, I think this was actually happening. It was discredited by the term conspiracy theory. And yeah, you can suddenly end up being a conspiracy theorist and being discredited as a whack job just for having a bit of an imagination and maybe putting two and two together and Yeah, maybe that thing over there equals four. I don't know. Do you think that equals four? I've got a theory that that might be equal four over there, and immediately discredited by that term. So yeah, no, I'm one of these people that finds the term a conspiracy theory. It is almost an attempt to discredit an idea that may or may not be a reasonable possibility. Well, something worth looking into, and they're always kind of fun to look into, especially when they're, Alex Jones has made himself a very decent living and career out of exploring conspiracy theories. Not all of them have been accurate, but we all
Yeah.
know Alex's is actually surprisingly a lot more accurate than people would like to give him credit
In
for.
long form, especially his Joe Rogan appearances, I think are some of the best viewing because it's one, him out of character kind of, and two, especially his latest one is just him firing off all these receipts, like the Bohemian Grove stuff
Yeah.
and all that stuff. It was really, really funny him doing that. But yes, that are the thing is, there seems to be two extremes in that. QAnon believes all conspiracy theories. Anything thrown their way, they seem to absorb it. QAnon will go, yeah, that's definitely true. And you go from, the DNC leak emails, which we need to cover because we've kind of had a long preamble here. You go from the DNC emails to lizard people on the moon, and you do that without thinking critically. That's what happens when you just accept everything. But the opposite of that is the people who will like, the DNC leaks are fake. CNN's telling me that I shouldn't read this, therefore I won't read it, and I will not absorb any information that conflicts with my viewpoint. And you have these two extremes, and on one hand, you have the mainstream, believing Joe Biden voter who takes everything that CNN says as gospel, and on the other hand, you have the QAnon lizards on the moon, brain melting. And I've heard these people. I know people whose parents have got caught up in this. And someone mentioned it in the chat earlier. I'm sorry, I kind of missed that post there. But I saw someone mention in the chat earlier that a lot of people's parents they're seeing are kind of degrading mentally, and they're doing it because we've got into such a low trust situation with media. In that there is nobody they consider a trusted source. You have things like Snopes. I know we mentioned it on last week's stream about their fact checking and how hilarious their fact checking is. But it really has become this polarized situation where you seem to have an all or nothing approach. And you can go down the rabbit hole and you can navigate it successfully. And that's kind of our vision here, is that the left will tell you don't go down the rabbit hole. But I will tell you, please go down the rabbit hole, but just learn how to analyze information properly. And you can use your own experience. You can use your own brain and your own inner self. You can just do this very easily, honestly, if you apply a few different skills. And I'll go over those a lot later in the stream.
Take a torch, basically. Take a torch when going down the rabbit hole, because that you can navigate it. There are obvious pitfalls, and sometimes it's fun to go down the rabbit hole. There's some wild fucking stories, and some of it is hilarious, and you can have a lot of fun with it. Just as I said before, don't dive into the belief thing. That's the real key. Is the moment people start to believe in things, that's where you end up with a religion, and you end up finding confirmation bias everywhere, and suddenly you're a rabbit, quite frankly. You're down the hole and you're staying down there, and then you're storming the Capitol buildings with a buffalo hat on.
It seems to be the pattern, seems to be the way. You bring proper equipment. Yeah, you need to be properly
Exactly.
equipped.
Exactly.
But I think the first domino in this chain, really, during the fever pitch of the 2016 election, were the DNC leaks. Because the DNC leaks were a smoking gun that the Democratic establishment was lying through their teeth about a whole bunch of issues, and that there was provably a grander conspiracy against non-establishment forces. It proved everyone who was talking about Bernie Sanders' primary run being sabotaged right. It proved people right about the fact that they knew that the DNC was disorganized, it was spiteful, they wanted to go after leakers, they wanted to go after anyone who disagreed with them. They talked in derogatory terms about minorities, calling, Mexican voters taco bowls. They have a complete disregard for the normal person. They are what we see is true in that they are the warped elite. they have their own set of standards, they have their own set of beliefs, and like we talked about in the Conspiracy of the True stream, there's a lot of rituals they go through, which will come into play later. There's things like Skull and Bones, there's things like the Bohemian Grove, that is proven to be true. All of these things exist. The hypothesis we get to builds on all of that. But first of all, we need to start at the beginning and start with the DNC elites and some of the incongruities therein.
DNC leaks. Do we have much on the DNC leaks? We've got the.
I want to go through these specific aspects.
Go on.
We've got the WikiLeaks stuff here because the DNC leaks started out a series of pattern recognition. Like I said, it's patternicity, and the other one is what they call agenticity. I hate these terms; they've been coined, but it's the tendency for people to think that they have agency over their surroundings. So there's a lot of random chaos, and people would rather see it as organized chaos. So they see patterns, and in the patterns, they see agency. They see there must be an actor. It's kind of the same thing as religious thinking, in that they think something must be happening because something is happening, someone must be causing it. That is their automatic assumption. We'll go into stuff like razors and logical razors and how to really kind of jog yourself out of this kind of thinking later on in the stream. But that really is where this all comes from. And the first domino in this chain was what people considered to be coded talking within the DNC leaks, and what became Pizzagate.
Pizzagate. There was enough there in Pizzagate for people to go, holy crap, that's weird. And that's all you need. That's all you need for somebody. So, you know, 10%, 5%, 2% of people watching it to go, what the hell is going off there? What are they talking about? They want to get hold of a pizza for an hour. You just eat pizza. Yeah. And that's
if you want to get my nice little splash screen up there, because that is the one quote. We'll go through it in a sec here because we have the leaks up. But yeah, the one quote that stood out to me when I was being Pizzagate is the guy who just went, I would like to get my hands on a pizza for an hour. Yeah, I would love to get a pizza for an hour.
Yeah.
It might just have been a typo. He might have just been saying, I'd love to get a pizza in an hour. But a lot of people read the DNC leaks and found a lot of incongruous language there. What the DNC leaks caused was people looking into a lot of these places they were talking about. And one of the actors that came out of that, one of the places that came out of that was the Comet Ping Pong Pizza.
Yeah.
It is a pizza place in DC that a lot of the kind of democratic elite seem to like. And when talking about it and talking about certain foodstuffs, their language seemed odd or stilted.
That's one way of putting it.
It could be perfect.
It could be perfectly. You know what? I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure not that Obama didn't order 40,000 pounds worth of male prostitutes under the guise of hot dogs. That wouldn't be like Obama at all. I'm sure.
Well, the whole thing about the hot dog receipt, we have receipts for that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's as people were like, oh, he couldn't spend 40 grand on hot dogs. It must be code for male prostitute.
I'll have you know. Sorry.
The Obama administration was incredibly arrogant.
Yes.
And what they did was they used secret, it's a wage bill as well, they used Secret Service agents to fly to Chicago and back to bring Obama and his friends their favorite hot dogs. And hiring agents, you know, paying the agents, put them on the plane. Basically, you know how government bill works. They're all inflated. It's all cost. It's like an invoicing. And basically, the total cost of flying to and from Chicago on short notice and getting those hot dogs came to like 30 grand. And he wasted taxpayer money on that. That's the real story there. They'll say that's not true. They'll say, you know, they'll try and fact check that away. But we have receipts. I'm not going to go over that in the stream. I don't want to have to go down every rabbit hole and provide evidence for every claim. Investigate that yourself. You know, you can do your own legwork on that. But that's one of the things the Obama administration did, and that they were willfully decadent and they wasted money. And it's the same with the DNC. The DNC is willfully decadent and it wastes money.
Yes.
And in doing so, they like to overpay for things. They also just like to go out for dinner a lot, it seems. But yeah, if you get up the slide you had earlier, which is the supposed code,
The
did
supposed
no, actually
code.
no, yeah, go down into the no, go into the email there. Actually, if you
The
can
WikiLeaks
just show the
email.
line, yeah,
Yeah.
Well, oh, it is on screen right now. Yeah, we'd
Yep.
love to get on our pizza for an hour, or come over. Like I said, it could just be a typo, but this is something that people latched onto because of the absolute fever pitch we were at with the DNC leaks.
It's also the thing is the Podestas are people have been iffy with the Podestas for quite a long time. I mentioned this in the stream before, and just before the power cut, essentially, was that the Podestas were wanted. When Madeleine McGann, which is an English girl, went missing, they did some photo fits of people that were wanted in questioning, and well, hold on a second. Here's the people that were wanted in questioning back in 2013 with the disappearance of Madeleine McGann, and well, there's John and Tony Podesta. As you can see, even they were also known to be in the neighborhood in Portugal at the time when it went missing. So there's an awful lot of people were, shall we say, a little bit iffy about this particular person and what they might have as a proclivity towards, shall we say, without sort of saying that they might be
Well,
horrendous monsters.
they
But
are strange. There's all the stuff with
oh.
spirit cooking with Podesta. There's all the supposed Satanism angle to all of this. But you see how random noise becomes information?
Yeah.
What happens here is that you have in disconnected events. Someone saying to Podesta, "I'd like to get my hands on a pizza for an hour." Then Podesta ending up, he is in Portugal. There's been a photo, there's a photo fit that seems to show him and his brother.
Yep.
But it's not proven. It could just be they were in the area at the time, and it's completely innocent. But you have those disconnected pieces of information, and people start to pattern recognition. And then they go, right, this must be a code. Elite pedophiles must be saying that hot dog equals boy, pizza equals girl, cheese equals little girl, pasta equals little boy. It doesn't help that the whole cheese pizza thing, CP thing online, which I
Yep.
don't even think these people would have known about. It's internet speak, but they came up with this whole code for what elite pedophiles say. So anytime anyone who is an elite said any of those words, people started to see that as evidence that they were pedophiles, even though they might just have actually been talking about pizza. Because a lot of the other instances in the DNC leagues seem to be perfectly innocent. They're talking about how the campaign just eats too much pizza.
Yes, totally innocent. Not, yeah, no, I'm
But
sure.
like I said, it's incongruity.
It is.
It's fascinating. It's like, whoa, that's kind of weird. It could be code for anything, though.
Yep.
That's the point.
And
The
then it,
fact that they.
I was going to say, and then it ended up culminating in stuff happening at Comet Ping Pong Pizzas.
Well,
Strange things
it did.
happening there, and maybe
Well,
went too far.
let's go through the other supposed evidence here. Because again, a lot of people just they very much latched onto it. The second thing here is about Comet Pizza itself
Yeah.
and some of the incongruities. And if you want to get Alex Jones off the screen for now,
Oh,
it
but
gets a bit too small. It gets a bit too
it
unreadable,
does. You're
unfortunately.
right. You're right. Okay, let's put it up there on the main screen so we can actually see it and read it. Yeah, we had things like Jimmy Comet's Instagram page
For
having
those who
pictures
don't,
like
yeah.
this, and you know.
Basically, it's to put it proper context. Jimmy Comet was the owner and operator. Well, not the owner. He was the operator of Comet Ping Pong Pizza, along with a guy. I think his name was George Elefantis. I think it's George.
Yes.
Him and Elefantis are two people who were key to this story because they started doing stuff that was really weird.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of the things that was on Jimmy Comet's Instagram. Like I said, previous again, I keep referencing the previous stream you guys probably won't have seen because of all the issues we had. But this is one of the tamer ones that runs on Jimmy Comet. See, there's pictures of him covered in blood cross-dressing. There's pictures of him like licking animal heads. There's loads of like really weird. Like Jimmy Comet is obviously a fucking weirdo and a pervert.
Yep,
But that
say
in
it again.
itself is not a crime.
Yeesh.
But this image really raised people's eyebrows.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how anyone could put this image on social media and not think, wow, this looks terrible. Like, it is a small child restrained to a table with masking tape, with an adult stood behind her. And it just, on the face of it, just makes your skin crawl. It's
It's
really viscerally wrong, this image. And it's one of the things I saw posted in other places, because it made people go, Jesus, what the fuck is wrong with these people? And
Yep.
because they were referenced in the DNC leaks, it became like even more present in people's minds. People added that to the Madeleine McCann Podesta stuff. And like, it really does, your mind does race away with it, but it is just, again, it's pattern recognition for things that there really is no proof of and probably will never be proof of. The problem is this will never be investigated properly and we will never know. Maybe in like 40 years, there'll be something accidentally declassified that shows that maybe people were right. But until then, we will never get to the bottom of this. We
We
will
had
never know.
all sorts of weirdness going on where they were talking about the basement, and then there was people denying the basement even existed in the pizza place
So it's
itself.
James, it's not George, it's James Elefantis.
James Elephantis, yes, that's yes, of course.
The other big piece of information people latched onto in terms of Comet's decor was, we talked about this, was the Kim Noble art. I
Yes,
know I put a tweet there.
you
There's an
have.
artist called Kim Noble, who's someone who has a multiple personality disorder, who was abused very, very heavily by elite paedophiles, actually.
I've got some
And she
samples of her
created.
art, actually, if you want to, if you want me to show, shall we put that up? I'm not going to leave it up for
We'll
too
put that
long.
up.
Yeah.
We'll put that up in a sec, because
Yeah.
it's genuinely upsetting. Kim
It
Noble's
really
art is
is,
just,
yes.
again, it's viscerally upsetting, is what it is. And there was art on the wall of Comet Ping Pong Pizza that was like modern art. It was kind of weird looking, and it looked a little bit like Kim Noble's art, but it wasn't. A lot of the stuff that was disseminated at the time that was false was that Comet Ping Pong Pizza had Kim Noble's art on their wall, which is like bound up children and shit like that. You can see in this thread here, she's threatening to, DMCA people who are posting it and shit like that, because she just had a very bad reaction to both the lies. People were lying about this.
Yeah.
It became a game of telephone. And again, this is something you can very easily disprove. This was a false piece of information that was put out there because people confused art that looks similar to other art. If you want to
Yes.
get.
The
Just
art.
get one of them. Yeah, on stream brief.
Yeah,
Sorry.
briefly, this is just a collection of, after Googling. You've got child stuck to wall, someone holding maybe a whip or something. You've got another child here chained to a wall. You've got a picture here of what looks like a small child, a group of adults with what appears to be erections standing around her, and it is nasty stuff, and I'm not going to leave it up because it makes my skin crawl, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's incredibly disturbing.
Yeah, and
And it.
this art comes up, crops up in places where, if someone wants to be discredited, someone will slap one of Kim Noble's pictures in the background on them, and then go, "Look, this person's a paedophile or something like that," and it throws suspicion on it, and it's unfortunate. I said this before. I would much rather find real information and discredit actual people with actual reality than try and discredit them with fake information, and in the process actually potentially cover up and give them credibility where they may not have it. It does look a little bit like corporate art. It's a hell of a lot more disturbing than corporate
It
art.
is, it is. It's like very disturbing corporate art. Mugwump's in the chat. Yes, Sargon did do a video about her art. Because stuff like Kim Noble is good proof that there are a lot of elite groups out there who do these disturbing things. And again, there's the real smoking gun of that was Epstein, which again we will get to later. And I want to cover stuff in order. But yeah, Kim Noble's art was used, and that really whipped people up.
But again,
The second point, yeah.
Podesta's home, his scars, his spirit cooking, all of that, it kind of ties in. It's got the same skin crawling, creepy feel to it that, I wouldn't leave my kids anywhere near the Podestas.
Same, no,
I wouldn't. Oh, Tony, come over, babysit my daughter or son. They're 8. You'll get on with them fine. No, they know. No, they're not coming in my house. I'm sure they're I'm sure they're wonderful people. You're very trustworthy, powerful, rich, etc. And this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. Nah, not letting them near children. They make my skin crawl. I can't tell you why. I just know that no.
They do. The thing is, a lot of global elites now, because they're so out of touch, people like Zuckerberg, it's like the whole lizard people thing. They appear like lizard people to us because they exist in a completely parallel society. That's why. It's very, very simple. Elite people go travel in elite circles, and they have a different set of morals, they have a different set of codes, they have a different set of rituals. And they do it by design. And a lot of that can be explained, well, by that fact that they are incredibly out of touch with the population. They really just don't connect with normal human beings, and they've been in this feedback loop of their own wealth and power so long that, you know, the permissibility becomes a different level. They start seeking out different things. Again, the absolute proof of that was Epstein. But the like I said, the other point that people latched onto was the basement, like you said, with James, the comments by James Elefantis, who I think owns Comic Ping Pong.
Yes. Sorry.
There's a point here. He made a comment, and it was widely circulated in mainstream media. To quote this, all of this is an underground tunnel that helps take the kids and transport them back and forth so they can do these rituals. One of the people said on like an image board.
Yeah.
They're putting spells all over the city. They are kidnapping children. They are never missing because DC knows where they are. Sorry. Comic Ping Pong owner James Elefantis said that the restaurant does not even have a basement. He said this. He suspected the story simply emerged because he had a friend. Because he and a friend supported the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Sure. Sure, he doesn't have a basement because Elefantis also said in another post, we make everything from scratch. Other restaurants, even good restaurants, will like or not roast their own peppers. You can just buy the roasted peppers in a can. Or you can buy garlic oil. Some products you can get, and they're consistent and they're easy. But I didn't even know that it existed, actually. And I was like, what do you mean? There's another way you can just buy these things? Because a lot of restaurants open a can and put it on. Like our sauce, we harvest a load of crop of organic tomatoes, 10 tons of tomatoes every year, can them all, store them in the basement, have a harvest party when it gets loaded in. So he's suddenly got a basement somewhere, even though, oh, I don't have a basement. Look, no basement here. But we store it in the basement. So incongruities like that make people like me. The light bulb just tightens just a little bit, and the light starts to go on, and
It
the
does.
warning
It
sight starts to.
isn't like, why would he do this? It's like I said, Pizzagate is essential to the QAnon story and essential to the rabbit hole story because it was really the moment I think a lot of people started to. There was just enough to latch onto, but not enough to provide any kind of proof. Like I said, it's incongruity, it's not evidence. It's people lying about something, but we're not sure what they're lying about. It's people talking about something, but it's not sure what we're talking about. And people got all these loose connections and disparate events came together and said, elite pedophiles, must be, must be, must be. Because we know those exist. They've existed for decades in Hollywood. You know, by
Yeah.
this.
Good God. Yes. Lots of them.
You know, we've
Sadly.
got Bryan Singer and his fucking twink parties and all that shit and all the stuff with like when Kevin Spacey was out as a pedophile, he was like, he jumped off a table and was like, I'm gay.
Yeah. It goes back
All of
further
that
than
stuff.
that. I mean, back in the
Yeah.
80s, there was the two child stars, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. They did lots of movies together, stuff for films like Lost Boys. And go and look up Corey Feldman these days. The guy is a mess, and one of the main reasons he's a mess is his good buddy from the 80s, Corey Haim, committed suicide. Why did he commit suicide? Well, he couldn't deal with the amount of rapings he'd had as a small child working in Hollywood. And when he tried to
Yeah.
say something about it, he was discredited. Corey Feldman's tried to say stuff about it, and his story is heartrending as well. This has not been going on recently. This has been going on since the 80s. It's been going on since the 70s, the 60s. The casting couch is nothing new, and these people are weird.
Well, this all really came on the heels of Epstein was an open secret by this point. The whole, the whole suicide in quotes hadn't happened yet. The arrests hadn't happened yet. But it was an open secret about the Lolita Express. Stuff was trickling out about it. We saw with the Weinstein stuff they fed into it, because a lot of people were just like, "Oh yeah, we knew. We didn't say anything." So it's like, okay, well, why didn't you say anything then? It's because, they wanted his money, they wanted his power, and Hollywood doesn't mind pedophilia as long as it serves their interests. That is
No.
the depressing truth of that industry, that they will actively court people that they know are pedophiles because they think they can get them apart. Like Westminster as well, there was a lot of the whole thing with the BBC and, them protecting Jimmy Savile, who was, a known pedophile since the 70s. In fact, a lot of places actively provided him children. It was awful here in the UK with again, elite pedophiles. This does exist. And the simple precept that QAnon started with and really latched on to, the fact that one, the government is corrupt and lying to you, and two, there are elite pedophiles who operate with impunity.
Okay.
These things are established fact,
Yeah.
really.
Before we move on, because we're going to move on to Epstein and so on in a moment.
I've got a couple more things to say on this
I was going to
topic
say,
anyway.
should we get, because I've noticed we've had a couple of super
I
chats
will
and
get
so
to
on.
donations and super chats. Yeah, I was actually just getting there.
Right, great, great,
Thanks
great.
for reminding me. I'm gonna
Yeah.
say we got a super chat here for €5 from Holo 1916, saying bored rich people will do any insane thing to relieve their boredom. Might as well eat cheese pizza if you've already bought every other prostitute. Yeah, it's a transgressive thing that we talked about in the whole conspiracy theories that are true. And
Yeah.
again, we'll move on to all of this subject. It's all very interconnected together, but I wanted to really give people a grounding in where QAnon came from and the transition into unreality from all of these events. We've had some more on Streamlabs as well. Again, that's kind of our preferred method. If you donate to Streamlabs,
Yeah.
we get a higher cut there. It's much better. Let me figure out where we're actually up to here. QAnons. Two donations here from Glowy, one for $1, one for $2. He says QAnon was probably grassroots at first, but I don't doubt any the psyops feed into it and cause it to become deranged. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what I think. We'll get onto the co-opting and corruption of it later on and what it became. He also says what people need to be aware of when investigating things is identify your own biases and desires while separating them from actual fact. Yes, again,
Bullseye.
that's exactly what I will say when we get into critical thinking, because I've got my own kind of Cliff Notes method that I use for kind of critical thinking evaluation. Listen to opposing opinions or information and see if they are valid. $10 donation here from HK9410. Again,
Thank you. Damn.
thank you for all the support. An update on the rifle. The info that led me to think I could buy an AK-107 was out of date, but I did find schematics for a recoil mitigation system, so the project's underway. Just the R&D will involve autism and alcoholism, kind of like the SKS.
Sweet.
Another $1 donation here from Glowy. He's really stretching that out. I'm feeling like a stripper getting singles thrown at me right here. Media and the people in charge want compliant masses. Historically, authorities do the yeah. Sorry, historically, authorities do this. Spartans ban slaves from exercising to keep them weak and incapable of fighting. Old nobles forbid plebs from reading because they might think for themselves. Yeah, it's underclass creation. It's
Yes.
very, very classic kind of not Machiavellian, because that word gets used wrongly. I
Yes.
apologize for reaching into the dark and pulling that word out wrongly.
I will
It's
defend my boy Machiavelli. He did nothing wrong.
fief. It's classic fiefdom statecraft. It's Middle Ages shit. It's keep the peasants, keep the lords, lords.
It's old Catholic Church. Speak everything in Latin, and so no one can understand it as well.
Well, again, it's but the thing again, the thing they latched onto is so we have all this disparate information. we have the DNC leaks where they, you know, a lot of bombshells came out of that, that they were the stuff they were lying about, people they were kind of leaning on, a whole bunch of behind the scenes just skullduggery that they denied that turned out to be true. But we have the supposed code from that. We have the incongruities, which led to Comet Pizza, which led to Jimmy Comet, which led to James Elefantis, and some of their contradictory, incongruous statements and obvious perversions. And all of this led people to believe that they were a smuggling ring for children and an outlet for elite pedophiles, which supposedly, even though this whole operation, like, I don't know, it's very glowy scale. In fact, no, we haven't got that out yet. Sorry, we should get the glowy scale out, because actually there's a reference on the fedometer to QAnon itself.
Yes, there is. Hold on a second. Look at that. Where is the fedometer?
Because it's a good one. Because yeah, the anonymous White House source section is really a reference to the whole QAnon thing, because it really did become very glowy in the end, and a lot of people claiming to be Q. But it has all the hallmarks of a psyop, and it's something, even if it wasn't a psyop, could be very easily co-opted by people who want to discredit the truth, if there is a truth.
Almost certainly was, yes.
That's the problem with dealing with unverified information from unverified sources. Anyone can be saying it, even people who are trying to counter its narrative. That's why you can't trust these things. And again, it's QAnon and all of the stuff that led up to it was not out of the ordinary in terms of 4chan and 8chan, like I've talked about. The difference is the audience that it hit. That is really the brain melting factor. We've had all of this information online for a long time, like similar information anyway. We've had these kind of events happen constantly. The difference is the public scrutiny and the people who were not equipped to deal with it. That is where all of this went wrong. And QAnon's kind of sad in that way, really, because it started to ruin people's lives. They started to be consumed by these theories. It became their entire existence. Was trying to hunt down one all these signals from Q. Did you ever have Q come into your mentions on Twitter, Trig?
Oh God, only on the sort of, you know, trust in the plan type nonsense. But it's like what was the more, the more recent one was that Donald Trump was secretly working with the military to overthrow Biden, you know, and so on and so forth. No, it hasn't happened. It wasn't going to happen. It sounded silly. It is silly.
Well,
there isn't a plan.
At some point, I will go into some of the behind the scenes stuff I've been privy to in terms of the election, because that was actually more of a close run thing than people realize. There's a lot of push and pull behind the scenes, a lot of competing interests within America's agencies. But ultimately, the establishment won out, as it were, as it was likely to be. A lot of people have criticized me for what I said during the election. All I wanted to keep telling people was that it was not impossible and that they shouldn't resign themselves to it. And that we should never stop saying that Joe Biden did not win the 2020 election, because he didn't. There's a lot of clear evidence out there that he didn't. That is not what I'm talking about here. The trust the plan stuff that I got in my mentions, a lot of it was like, you know, the crow will caw twice on the seventh day, and
that, like, yeah, that's all nonsense. That just feels like you're having a bad trip, and stay away from Twitter when you're on mushrooms, essentially, Tia, because it did seem like nonsense.
It is nonsense. It's a lot of people. It's like I think some of them are like genuine schizophrenics, and you get this feedback loop of grifters who started to make money out of them.
Yep.
You got people who were genuinely paranoid schizophrenics feeding into their own delusions. You got these conspira boomers who didn't have the critical thinking skills and information filtering background and experience to be able to navigate this whole world. And then you just had, like I said, you had the people who were incongruous and deliberately feeding false information to try and make any of the discussion of the elite pedophilia, the DNC leaks, all the genuine stuff, they tried to make that go away with it. So you had all these competing interests that kind of fed into this big pot of what QAnon became, where you just got crowds of people, because big Q accounts used to quote me on Twitter when I was bigger on Twitter back before I was... Before I gave up on the platform, by the way, followers on Minds, we'll show that later.
Gave
It's in
up
the
on the
description.
platform? Gave up
Yeah,
on
they
the.
probably gave up on the platform.
You banned once again. That was what
Banned
was it,
once this.
your tenth
Banned again.
your tenth account or something, wasn't it, at that
Yeah, I think
point?
we got to 10, and then I just finally decided this isn't worth it anymore.
I swear you should rent out your skills to grow people's Twitter channels. I've never seen anyone be able to grow and destroy a Twitter account quite as
Well,
quickly
that's
as you
what I
can.
said. It's self-destructive. It's a rocket that burns its own fuel and explodes. I once got offered the social media manager job of a relatively large website.
Really?
I won't, no, I won't say who, but I was like, no, I will have your account banned within a week, is what I told them. I turned that down for that reason. I did turn that down for that reason. But yeah, it's a lot of the coverage of Q. We'll go into the mainstream media coverage of Q probably round about the end of this story, because I want to round it out, kind of compare what we know to what the media portrays, because again, that is a version of unreality. They have their own unreality, but I think they know it. I think they know that they're just pushing a narrative a lot of the time. I know you shouldn't attribute malice where stupidity is present, but you can't not in these cases because they've been corrected so many times. Yeah, no, it led to the situation where you have modern QAnon today. And like I said, I've been through Pizzagate and the DNC leaks, because this is what I was going to say when I got cut off on Thursday, by the way. That all of this is important because it taught the conspira boomers to trust inference and not information. Pizzagate was infuriating because we got so close to something, but there really wasn't anything solid. There is nothing concrete in Pizzagate. People were lying about things, people were talking about things in ways that seem odd, and people were weirdos and perverts. But out of all of that, we don't get anything solid. But it looks so bad, the optics were so bad, the environment was so kind of rabid for this kind of information to come out, that it really did turn into something for these people. And Pizzagate and the DNC leaks and the obvious lies that they've been told in other areas built up in people's minds to where they could trust inference and trust the plan over their own critical thinking skills. It was essentially like the perfect training ground to turn off that side of their brain and just go, right, all of this is true. If X is true, Y must be true. Pizza, like the media, the only thing the media got right about QAnon was that Pizzagate was the thin end of the wedge. But it wasn't the thin end of the wedge towards extremism. It was a thin end of the wedge towards unreality, in that these people stopped being able to process information, and they were only primed for that because of the extreme lies the media told them. Pizzagate was the trigger, but I think that they had been primed for more than a decade by the mainstream media's lies. This wouldn't happen in a higher trust society, because there would be no reason for it to happen. If the institutions and the media had proved themselves more trustworthy and hadn't completely eroded these people's faith to the point that they were willing to believe random messages on an anime image board on a chan, we would not have ended up in this situation. And all this did was, I think, release something that was kind of becoming inherent in people's thinking patterns, in that they didn't know where to turn. So when they found this supposed big pile of elite pedophiles, they just dived on it because it was something they could latch onto.
But I mean, it's so tantalizing, especially with what has been happening recently, with Jeffrey Epstein being arrested and then being suicided. The ground at that point was it was so primed. We'd had the Pizzagate stuff.
It
We then
was.
had Jeffrey Epstein caught. Suicides. We've been waiting for now. Ghislaine's been arrested. We're still waiting. We've got documents that have come out. We've got black books full of names and addresses. We know that there was underage girls there. We've got huge amounts of evidence there. So to suddenly have QAnon going on about a cabal of elite paedophiles, we know they're there. We know damn well. We know they're there, and we know roughly who is involved, because we've seen, if you haven't seen the Black Book, Jeffrey Epstein's address book, you can dig it up, it's out there. There's a who's who of the rich and powerful elite in Hollywood and New York and Washington.
Well,
And
do you want to get my little splash screen up there, Trey? Because I'm very proud of this one.
this is a good one. Yes, you're right. You're right.
Pull up that thing, Trey. Pull up that screen, Trey. Yeah.
The Prince and the Pedo. It's almost a Disney-esque title.
Ah, the Prince and the Tale as Old as Time. Song as Old as Wine. Prince and the Pedo. This is where people really need to turn, because the Epstein, as opposed to Pizzagate, the Epstein story is something extremely solid.
Oh, yeah.
It's something extremely provable, and it's something that, there did need to be an investigation into and there wasn't. But there's a lot of good evidence. There's actual hard evidence in the Epstein case,
Yes.
that people were abused. There's a lot of hard evidence as well that he was blackmailing people. And it's not
Oh.
a leap. It's not completely proven, but if you want to get a, I don't know, if you want to get into a proper kind of rabbit hole that you can go down productively, look into the Epstein stuff, look into his connections, look into Ghislaine Maxwell, look into the elite people that they were associated with, the lives they had. Well, we've talked about Ghislaine Maxwell's father before, the
Yeah.
fact that he stole a whole bunch of money from pension funds, the fact that he was a Mossad asset at one point.
There it is. There it is. That's the name I've been dying to say the moment Epstein comes up, because
Well, it is.
if this wasn't a Mossad operation to bribe and coerce American politicians and elites and the powerful, then I would be very, very surprised if it wasn't, shall we say. That it had every hallmark, every marking of being a really despicable intelligence op by Mossad to control US politics. And it's still operating because none of the evidence has come out. None of the people who could have been implicated have been implicated. And that information is still hanging over them like Damocles' sword. And they are still playing that tune. They are still, dancing to that particular tune. And yeah.
Before we move on too far, I got another, there's another quick super chat here from. Let me see if I can say this right. Oh, I had it in my head, but it's like Versus Simidilidurus Rex. That's the best I'll say it. You have a terribly unpronounceable name, but I like it. It sounds fun if I can learn to say it properly. £2 there. A few quid for my favourite low-key psyop. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
We need those glowy bucks. But yeah, you're right. It's a case of the central premise in the Epstein case, which seems to hold water, is that Epstein is a mogul out of nowhere.
Oh,
His
yeah.
fortune doesn't make sense. Him as a character doesn't make sense. No one knows where he made his money at first. And nobody seems to know how he got himself this massive position of power where he seems to know everybody, and everyone flies on his quote unquote Lolita Express that is proven that young girls were abused on.
Cough, cough,
There's this
Mossad,
list of elite
cough.
people who spent time on his island, Little St. James, where many people have testified that underage girls were abused on Little St. James. That the man himself was convicted and then subsequently had an extremely generous plea deal offered to him.
Yeah.
In Florida, because he was caught having sex with underage children. Jeffrey Epstein is a pedophile. He operated as a pedophile on his plane. He operated as a pedophile on his island. And there is a huge amount of evidence and testimony that, one, the elite establishment knew about this, like they did with Weinstein, and two, that he used the power that he had and underage prostitutes as a vector to pressure people into giving him money and making them do what he wanted.
Bingo. Not just what he wanted as well.
Oh, yeah.
I suspect the way and the reason why he had so much money and the people that set him up to become as rich and powerful as he was in the first place, it was those people whose will was being done. It was puppetry. It was, he was the front man And he was
He
having a
does.
great old time of it, living the high life and the really disgusting, vile life as well, with all of his sick pedo friends, and in the process putting together huge dossiers of information of the rich and powerful doing weird shit so that they could be coerced into doing someone's bidding. Cough,
Yeah, he was
Israel.
very, very obviously murdered. No one anywhere believes that Epstein killed himself. It became a fucking Epstein didn't kill himself, became a fucking normie meme at one point. That's how obvious it was that he was bumped off by the establishment because they didn't want him saying what he knew.
And again,
And he, yeah.
credit to Luke Gradowski for going onto that island and running around like the madman that he is. Got a lot of time for Luke. Luke is a good boy.
Yes. Although I always imagine his name is said like Mike Wachowski in Monsters, Inc. Mike Wachowski! That's all I hear when anyone says Luke Wachowski.
Yeah, he is a proper madman though. He has run through police lines. He has gone onto Epstein's island. He has stood outside the Bilderbergs conventions and
The Bilderberg Group, yeah.
accosted them on their way in. He has got in. He was like the first person to get an actual interview with these guys. People give Tim Pool shit, and some people give Tim Pool a lot of credit. They should be giving Luke all of the fucking credit that Tim Pool gets. And it's interesting that they're friends, because yeah, Luke is a really good boy. I've got a lot of time for Luke's work. He does.
Yeah, I agree.
He
I
is a
like
bit of a
Luke.
madman with it, but I fucking love that. You've got to be a madman to literally go out, crash Davos, crash Bilderbergs, make yourself a nuisance to the most powerful people in the world. You've got to be slightly mental. Yes, Luke is absolutely fucking legend, and yeah, I wish him all the best. He is great. I even bought one of
Yeah.
his hats. I have a
He even
make
bought one of his
taxation.
hats.
Yes, so my make taxation theft again hat is from Luke's We Are Change site.
Well, there's an article here from the Scottish Sun. I know it's the Sun, but it's still a lot of places reported on this,
Oh,
and this
yep.
has actually got one of the better write-ups of it. We'll just go through a couple of the articles here, just because this is just so well established at this point. Like, this was just mainstream news.
Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein were spies who used underage sex and blackmail politicians' ex-handler claims. I wonder who they were spies from. Can you take a guess?
Yeah, Ghislaine Maxwell and pedophile lover Jeffrey Epstein were both Israeli spies who took pictures of powerful men having sex with underage girls to blackmail them. Their alleged Mossad handler has sensationally claimed. He's not the only person to have claimed this, though.
No, an awful lot of people have claimed it. Thing is, this guy might actually be a lot more credible than your average YouTube conspiracy theorist. Cough me, cough, etc. It's all very well and good going, this guy's clearly Mossad. But when you're an actual ex-Mossad handler, there's a little more credibility than lunatic off the internet. And
He's trying to promote his book, though. It's Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. But Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, was a Mossad asset.
Well, he
It is
was.
proven.
He was.
Yeah.
He was also a thief of vast numbers of people's pensions, and
Yep.
quite frankly, it is quite a good thing that he fell off his boat and drowned in the Mediterranean. It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. But you want proof that he was? He was buried on, what was it, Mount Zion? Is it Mount Sinai or Mount Zion or wherever it is?
It's Mount Zion.
Mount
Okay,
Zion.
let's.
Yeah, he is given a pride of place position on one of the where they bury the best and brightest for Israel. And yeah, there's that they only put people there that have been a big friend to that country.
Yes, they definitely do.
There's the scumbag himself. Nobody that remembers this guy in England. He is just the most vile scum in that he left so many people without a pension. It is absolutely. He is an absolute disgrace of a human being, and I'm
Well,
glad he's dead.
this was being alleged by a guy called John Doohan, who served as deputy sheriff in Palm Beach for it at the time. Epstein was in prison. Yeah, he said he was given access to Epstein's case file, including videotapes in its entirety by Palm Beach police detective. who later died unexpectedly at age 50. Dewan managed to copy the tapes, encrypt them, and flee to Russia, where he now lives. Although he has not watched encrypted files, he tells Epstein dead men telling tales that he is certain they contain blackmail material involving wealthy people. There's a lot of people who make these claims. Like I said, there's another article here from his ex-business partner. What was he called? It's Hoffman. There it is. Stephen Hoffenberg.
Stephen.
No, it's even better. It's Stephen Hoffenberg who ran a Ponzi scheme investment scam with Epstein.
Oof.
Yeah, Hoffenberg and Epstein criminally masterminded one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in history.
Stephen
Reality is really anti-Semitic. Good
that
Lord.
Sounds like some sort of meme that we would make up for some sort of joke
at some point.
Oh dear,
that is quite. Oh no.
Where is it? Let's see if we still got Fischenberg lurking around. I don't. You know what? I don't think I've got him anywhere.
That's hilarious because the infinite crab bucket with Fischenberg is one of our fully monetized videos. YouTube endorsed. Thank you, guys. Yeah, now his ex business partner also claims that he was again that he boasted he was selling Prince Andrew's secrets to a Mossad spy and called him his Super Bowl trophy. Like I said, it's not conclusively proven, but there's a huge amount of evidence and testimony that this is the modus operandi. It makes sense. It fits congruently, and there are people who are willing to testify to it, and the cover-up is very, very obvious. I mean, there's a BBC article here as well, which you all probably will have seen, but it's the whole Jeffrey Epstein CCTV erased by technical errors. I mean, come on.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's on the same sort of scale as the Westminster paedophile case. All the case files were left on a train, and no one. I'm sorry, we can't prosecute this anymore because we can't find the files. I'm terribly sorry. Boo hoo.
Yeah. Boo hoo. Oh, no.
All of those paedophiles in Westminster, we will never know who they were. Which
could
you know what?
Left.
If it was left on a train, I guarantee you someone would have fucking leaked that to the press. Of course, it wasn't left on a train.
Also, how do you have one copy of case files in the 21st century?
I don't know. We keep it on paper because that's the safest way of doing it. You wouldn't want it on digital because people could copy it then and make it secure and maybe. Oh no, no.
But yeah, this is Epstein. Really, is the smoking gun for the elite pedophiles. He and Weinstein and all of that stuff. This is just true. You don't need to go down a rabbit hole really to view it. You can prove that there are elite pedophiles who are very likely to have been blackmail farms for intelligence agencies. And you can take that one step further and you can infer from the activities of people around him that not only did people fall victim to Jeffrey Epstein, they actively tried to become his victim because it allowed them the blackmail material needed, the mutually assured destruction to become part of elite society.
Yep. Plus, they also enjoyed a nice little bit of underage puss. Sorry, I couldn't help it. But yeah, you know, if you were a bit of a paedophile and also wanted to get into high society, Jeffrey Epstein was your route into that. You could get in pretty balls deep pretty quickly. And suddenly you're in with the most wealthy and most powerful people in America. Well, and some of them in England and other countries as well. This was not, you know, limited because, as we know, the prince himself, there he is, Prince Andrew was good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, he would never get involved in that sort of thing himself.
No.
He's a good boy, and he remembers me going for a pizza with his niece and nephew. He was never in a club. Talking to 16-year-old girls. No. Quite absurd to even think that a member of the royal family would do that. Well, some of them maybe. But,
how disappointing.
Somewhat, yes.
The problem is, though, that with Epstein, this really reinforced a lot of the faulty worldview of the QAnon people. in that this really fed into a confirmation bias, in that because there were proven instances of elite pedophiles that the establishment was very obviously trying to cover up, they believed that anyone who put forward a theory that involved that was speaking truth.
Yeah.
And in that, because the we had these proven instances, the stuff, and the, because they got sucked into the whole Comet Ping Pong Pizza, and they got sucked into an inference rather than reality, it's the contrast here is what I wanted to show. The gulf of evidence between Jeffrey Epstein and John Podesta is massive. There is a very wide, you know, it's just, it's night and day. One can pretty much be proven, you know, it's, we don't have the case files, we aren't privy to some of the discussions, you know, there'll be a lot of stuff that we'll never see the light of day, but from the evidence that is public, we can very, very clearly reach the conclusion that Jeffrey Epstein not only was a pedophile, not only was a child trafficker, but was deliberately incriminating people. Like, that is not a controversial conspiracy theory anymore. I'd actually argue the majority of people who've reviewed the evidence come to that conclusion. But with the John Podesta stuff, all we have are snippets. Little nibbles that are just enough to get you interested, but not enough to really show any solid evidence. And you need to be able to prioritize one above the other. One is on balance quite solid, you can present it to people. The other one is interesting and maybe fun to meme about, but there's not enough there. And the people who were in QAnon who didn't manage to navigate this rabbit hole couldn't make that distinction. No. They were intellectually incapable of making that distinction. And that's where the problem lies.
Aww. Poor Q-tards. But yes, yeah, no, you're right. I think it was it's like every time you expose a boomer their first time onto Paul, this is basically what happens, is they either lose their mind and go, oh my god, these people are saying the N-word, or they go, oh my god, this is hilarious. Ah, I always thought these people were doing this. I know that, yes, of course, they're all pedophiles. And they dive straight down the rabbit hole. They believe everything they see. And suddenly you get utter nonsense starting to happen because they don't know what they're looking at.
You end up with Lizardman in space.
Yes.
Because you start to accept things as true without properly evaluating them.
Oh, what was his name? Oh, God, the guy's name shot straight out of my head as we were talking about lizard people. David Icke.
David Icke, yeah.
David Icke. David Icke went from, for those that don't know, went from 80s sports reporter and media personality on British TV, widely respected as just a guy on the news who did the sports, to suddenly he was the second coming of Jesus Christ. A certain color of purple was specifically designed for him that gave him power, and various people in high positions were actually lizard people from outer space, and they were eating humans. Boy, did David Icke go a bit potty, but at the same time, it's a bit like some of Alex Jones's wackier stuff. You could kind of see where he was coming from, you know, if you take enough acid, you could probably believe it. Or
marrying a goblin. In bed with a goblin. The whole thing was actually metaphorical, though. He was talking about people who are metaphorical goblins.
Yes. Yes, but
There's a couple things I want to cover. Try to get this structured properly. I think it's really time to move on to, like, we don't really have any slides for this, but I've got a few links here. I've got the Encyclopedia Britannica definitions of a few things, because I'm much better than Wikipedia is, honestly. Because I think we all know what confirmation bias is. But just for completeness, I'll read the actual definition of confirmation bias. In that it's the tendency to process information by looking for or interpreting information that is consistent with one's existing beliefs. This biased approach to decision-making is largely unintentional and often results in ignoring inconsistent information. Existing beliefs can include one's expectations in a given situation and predictions about a particular outcome. People are especially likely to process information to support their own beliefs when the issue is highly important or self-relevant. Or emotional, I would argue, as well.
Yes. Which is why when the power cut hit me on Thursday, I was going for my bug out bag and basically looking out for helicopters and vans. No, I actually wasn't, but
Well, there's The flip side of this is that I think that the people who buy into the Russia conspiracy are just as damaged, who genuinely buy into it, who it brings them genuine fear, are just as damaged as the people who believe in the lizard people stuff.
Yeah, I mean I'm sure. I mean, when the Russian bot thing was going off, the idea that everyone that was supporting Trump and everyone that was supporting Brexit was a Russian bot, it was so tantalizing. I actually went out and started learning Russian just so that I could suddenly go, ah, privyet, как вас зовут, меня зовут...
One mirrors the other.
Yeah, and you could start talking to people in Russian and then go, oh, I'm sorry, no, I'm a big English supporter of Brexit, etc. And give them the impression that they're actually talking to a Russian. And you know, you'd play into their belief that Russian
kind of
bots
mean.
Are.
It's like leaning into a schizophrenic and telling them that you also hear the voices and the voices are real. And shouldn't let anyone tell them otherwise.
Look, if they're people. Retarded enough to think that it was all Russian bots, then I'm going to give them an experience of meeting an actual Russian bot because.
Oh dear. Well, it's the same thing, though, and it's the same descent into unreality. In that you can really conclusively prove that is just horseshit. Just like yes. You can really conclusively prove that the lizard people think it's horseshit. Yet one is a mainstream affectation and one is a fringe affectation. It's the same kind of thing. It's the same kind of confirmation bias and the same lack of critical thinking. Mm-hmm. It goes everywhere. It really, really, really does. But really we're talking about the Q stuff and really how a lot of people in the alternative viewpoint can... stop themselves from ending up in that situation. There's a very few good logical tools you can use. They don't apply universally. People tend to misapply them quite a lot. The big one really is Occam's razor, otherwise known as the law of economy, a law of passivity. It really is that the simplest explanation tends to be the best.
Yes. We've got an Occam's razor. Where was it? Is it that? No.
Again, I put out. It's another Encyclopedia Britannica article.
That's Hanlon's. There we are. There's Occam's razor. Yes.
We'll go through some of the UK news at the end because that's more fun. We'll have that as a palate cleanser.
Oh, the Iceland thing. I ended up with an argument with a Welsh person over that. But yes, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's the fun news that we'll get to kind of at the end of the stream. We've got a little bit of a wind down at the end for people who last that far. Occam's razor. It also says that, you know, usually what people forget about Occam's razor is that multiple explanations are usually less reliable than one explanation.
Yes.
That is another aspect to it too, that you should, a single simple explanation is generally the one worth exploring the best. It's not universal, it doesn't always apply, but it's like balance of probability.
Yes.
It's churning through a large number of different theories and a large amount of information. You should try and focus on the more simple single explanations that make sense rather than the more complex multiple explanations. It is a good logical tool for thinking, okay, well, you know, how do I filter out this information? How do I prioritize exploring these possibilities? And in absence of absolute evidence, you can say on balance probability, the simpler explanation is most likely to be the correct one. That's all Occam's razor really says.
Yes. It's not saying it is going to be the one, and certainly there are some, you know, complicated explanations, and people will use Occam's razor almost against you, where something complicated has happened, and they're saying, "Don't be idiot, don't be silly." It was, of course, it was just reporters chasing after Princess Diana, and she just had a car accident. To think that the royal family would have bumped her off for actually being pregnant with Dodi Al-Fayed's child, that's just madness. How complicated? No. It was the paparazzi, and so it can be used against you, or for you. But it's not a bad rule of thumb to run with at first.
That's the most reliable one, I think. Yeah. The second one I've got here is Hanlon's razor, which I think is poorly formulated. Uh-huh. Hanlon's razor is usually quoted as never attribute to malice, which is adequately explained by stupidity.
Oh, this is Tim Pool's favourite one, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, I think the never in there is wrong. It should be, on balance, you shouldn't attribute to malice what, could be adequately explained by stupidity.
Yes.
It's a great way of getting yourself out of persecution thinking.
Yes.
And in that you shouldn't automatically assume that there is malice or persecution behind an action. It's the problem a lot of people who are paranoid get into. It's a problem who a lot of people who are narcissists get into, in that they perceive everything as a slight against them. So, it like the on balance, it seems that the people in Comet Ping Pong are just panicking perverts who are greasy little establishment toadies who don't want their fetishes to be broadcast and who aren't intelligent enough to really explain their way out of all the incongruities on their social media and their personal stories because they have guilty consciences about the things that they've done.
Panicking pizza peddling perverts, in fact.
Yes, panicking pizza peddling perverts who are may not in fact be pedophiles.
Oh, well Ah, alliteration. My favorite game.
But I don't know, they're purposely misdirecting you, I think, in certain ways. They are definitely liars, they are definitely cheats, they are definitely perverts, they are definitely friends of establishment figures. But on balance of evidence, there is not really enough to say that this was all malicious. Like I said, it's a combination of both. The grand conspiracy of an elite pedophile ring out of the basement of a pizza shop doesn't hold up to these.
No.
And it's a good way of guiding your thinking.
A
It's like, okay.
couple of weird Instagram photographs does not make for conclusive proof, even if they are very
No.
weird. Very weird. But yes, yeah. Again, Hanlon's razor, Occam's razor, all of these things though are rules of thumb. They are not. They are a sanity check. They are a good way of going. Is there a more obvious explanation to this? They are not guarantees, but
Yeah.
yes, they are.
Is there an explanation to this that doesn't require malice? It would be. And that you should always explore explanations of things that are incompetence rather than malice, I think is what I would take away from Hanlon's razor. The idea that it's always not malice is wrong. I think that leads you into naive thinking. It leads you into overly generous thinking. I think you need to be able to spot malice where there is malice. You shouldn't always assume kindness. But you shouldn't always assume malice. Like I said, it's like anything, it's a balancing act. Don't be naive, but don't be paranoid. It's very hard to evaluate evidence, but the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's like anything. It's like training yourself. It's like it's people go the herd your mind is a muscle thing, but like in a metaphysical sense, let's say, you do need to train your thinking. And you do need
Yes.
to be able to recognize where your own thought patterns are faulty, which is really where critical thinking comes in, and it isn't taught in schools, which annoys the piss out of me.
Because otherwise you're going to start saying, you're going to start going down the rabbit hole. You're going to get so far down the rabbit hole that you're just going to be, well, the classic Alex Jones freaking out. In fact, let's run the video of that because I just love this one. Here we go. Here's Alex Jones. Yeah. That's how you can end up feeling very, very quickly. Dealing with going down the rabbit hole and ending up with oh my God, the paedophiles, the pot-bellied goblins are literally bathing in the blood of children
Marrying a goblin.
to sustain their life, their spirit cooking with the blood of children, etc. They might be, sure. I mean, they do some weird shit, but I don't have any proof of that. Yeah,
No.
that cheeky smile. You know what? Alex Jones is just such an endearing guy. Every time I look at him, he just makes me smile because whilst he is knee deep, well, waist deep, up to his neck, in fact, in conspiracy theories and madness, he's always got a big fat grin on his face and he's loving it. And yeah, God bless Alex. I would love to meet Alex Jones and shake him by the hand. That guy is cool. I am kind of envious of Dank and Sargon having met Alex Jones.
Yeah, I'd like to meet Alex Jones. There's a Okay, but there's a few other things I want to cover before we move on. We've got a few more donations that are piling up.
Cool.
Again, guys, you are allowed to send super chats now, but we would encourage people to send Streamlabs donations. And again, thank you all for your support, and all these do get read. So I've got a $5 donation here from Yorick Talthon saying, "Trig, check your Twitter DMs. I sent you a link of Biden creeping online after a gay boy. Time to shift at a park." We'll probably go over that after, but yeah, there's a load of like creepy shit that elite people do, and maybe it's their social media managers doing it. We're not 100% sure about all that, but probably won't be able to review that on stream, unfortunately. $2 here from Glowy. Again, I have a theory: Epstein is a gatekeeper to a high society of an elite club. Yeah, in order to enter these groups, need you to do humiliating hazing. Yes, this is again what we covered in the conspiracy theories that are true. Giving up information that compromises, like sociologists did. Yeah, psychologists did, sorry. Benefits them for cover for each other. That's what it is. It is mutually assured destruction, as I said. It is, we have evidence on you have evidence on me, so let's not rock the boat, let's all be nice, comfy elites together. You're part of the society, and if you go against, if you try and leave, if you upset the club, we will release this information on you. And if I upset you, and if I upset the club, you release this information on me. That's how it works. Like I said, it's very simple. It is like the hazing rituals of a frat house, or a secret society, or a Freemasons, or a Skull and Bones. It's like all of that. It is, again, very, very simple to explain to people, and it builds very, very much on the lives these people have led in the university, in their early 20s, and in the way that they view themselves as someone who is elite and different. Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And another $2 here from Glowy. He's donating a lot here. When it comes to corporations / media narratives, it's either intentional or malicious ignorance because they have the resources and the connections to verify stories. Verify in quotes, yeah. It's self-referential is what it is, yeah. Whatever they put out has gone through lawyers and committees 90% of the time, yeah. And they do collude as well. We have just so much evidence of media collusion. But they do it openly. They talked about it in Time, where they talked about fortifying the election and the cabal of elites who came out to save us from Trump. It's sickening. And they're honest about it. They are just, they've come out into the open about it. But yeah, it is kind of, it's that's not conspiratorial. That's just depressing and true.
Dear God, that message that I've been sent is horrendous. That is vile. Oh, no, I'm not showing that on stream. It's a picture of a naked, pregnant James Charles with a liked by Joe Biden at the bottom of it. That's
And like I said, it might just be some social media intern that's done something by accident, which is
Yeah,
probably what it is.
that's yeah. Thanks for sending that and putting that in my DMs. That's horrifying. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Sorry. Carry on with. Was there more messages?
No, that's it. That's all we have for the super chats.
Cool.
I just want to carry on with the critical thinking stuff.
I think it's time. Yes.
So we've done Occam's Razor, we've done Hanlon's Razor. One that seems to get a lot of people on the left up in arms is Hitchens' Razor, which is one of the ones I agree with most, actually. It could be misused like all of them, but I think it's just as good as Occam's and Hanlon's Razor. Those of you who don't know what Hitchens' Razor is, it is, whatever can be asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. So basically, it's really simple. An assertion is an assertion. And if
Yes.
you can't back up an assertion with evidence, it can be dismissed. But that's it. That's all it says. A statement in of itself without evidence can be dismissed without evidence because it becomes nil then. The balance of proof is on the person who makes the claim. I completely agree with that.
Yes.
And you should, that's a really good way to filter people's claims. Just like, okay, but where's the evidence for this? Where's the proof of this? And there's a, I think this is from some sort of logical website or atheist website, but I kind of like the way that they go over this.
This is Christopher Hitchens, isn't it, that it's talking about? This,
Yes, it is Christopher Hitchens. It's a reference to Christopher Hitchens. It says, asserting the burden of proof regarding the truthfulness of a claim lies with the one who makes the claim, and if the burden of proof is not met, the claim is unfounded, and its opponents need not argue further in order to dismiss it. It is misused a lot of to just be overly dismissive, but But when used properly, I think this is a great tool. An example they use here is a bum walks up to you in the city and says, "Give me $20 or I'll remotely detonate an atomic bomb I have secret plans in New York." It's like, should you pay him off or is he full of it? Yeah, it's one of those. It's just fanciful, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, is another way of putting it. And like I said, burden of proof is on the person making the claim. You can claim anything.
Yes. Though sometimes they might be right. I have made some fairly wild claims in the past that have since proven to be correct based on hunches, but it was a hunch.
Yeah, and you should admit as much. You should
I
say, "Look,
openly admit that they're hunches. I was just like, this is really freaking fishy. Take a look at this. There's something really not right about this. It's usually as far as I go. I don't like to say anything too certainly unless I'm certain about it.
okay. What else is there here?
What have we got? We've got your rules of critical thinking.
Oh yeah, I wrote down some like quick notes. Probably won't be
Yeah.
able to get these on screen, but I put down like generally what I go through with critical thinking. This is my process, is one, like what is being asserted. Like you have to identify the point that's actually being made first. Because a lot of people, like Destiny, will just waffle at you. You have to really pin down, okay, what is the central premise of what is being said here? That is the first point is to distill out what the claim is. The second point is like, gather the evidence. What is the evidence for and against the supposed claim or the point? The second stage is information gathering, which is why the whole rabbit hole, don't go down the rabbit hole thing is pernicious, because you have to. If you really want to evaluate something, you have to gather all the evidence.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can throw some of it out, but don't throw any evidence out before you start evaluating it. You have to gather it first. And then you move on to evidence evaluation. Sorry, go on, Trigger, you're saying
Well,
again.
this I was gonna say this is something that was I it saddens me that it's not taught that these days. But
No.
we were studying this in school whereby we would go through a thing that happened back when the particular thing that happened when that we were studying was the M25 raves that were very, very
Yeah.
big in the 80s. And so the school's that was like, okay, we're going to study this. What we're going to do is we're going to take this particular instance, and you're going to get a copy of the mirror. You're going to cut a copy of the star. You're going to get a copy of the sun. You're going to get a copy of the Times. You get a copy of the Telegraph. Basically, four or five tabloids, four or five broadsheets, and pull that story, that one story apart, and go, okay, what do we have here that are actual facts? How have they listed numbers of things? Have we listed times and places? Actual details that they put in there, and go through all of them and find out which ones are producing the same numbers, which ones are overblowing it, which ones are underplaying it. Make a note. So, okay. And you build up from that the actual facts of what's going off. You also make a note of how they're spinning it. Are they going the evil, filthy police were beating the
Oh,
honest, this, that, and the other? Are they using sensationalized terms? And which way are they spinning it? And that way you can work out which bias that source has, whether they're for or against what is actually happening in that news story or what side they're taking, and what details are actually factual. And the details
yeah.
are important. And this is how
There
you
is a
build up a
misuse.
picture.
Yeah. It
Sorry.
is, it is. You have to evaluate it. There is a misuse of this. Someone quoted the whole, "Do you have a study to prove that thing?" Like the idea that you need a peer-reviewed study to show something that is, logically consistent generally is wrong. It's a deference to authority. It's an over-reliance on the academic class rather than being able to present simple evidence in simple terms and make good arguments. I agree with that. Yeah, the debunkers and all that. But a lot of that is just empty fact checking. It is pure appeal to authority. There is no evaluation in that case. It's just, this is wrong because authority X says it is wrong. That is the opposite of critical thinking. It essentially shuts down the process at stage two. It says, well, what's the evidence for and against this point? It's like, well, we have absolute proof from Snopes that this is wrong. It's like, okay, but like.
Oh God, I can't believe you said Snopes. Yeah, exactly. Ex
Yeah, well,
exactly,
that's
though.
what they'll
That's
do.
a
They'll just say, Snopes
classic.
fact checked this. Snopes
Snip.
fact checked it.
Great.
It's like,
Snopes
okay,
doesn't have a
do you want to do
bias at
your own
all.
thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, step three is how valid is each piece of evidence and how valid are their sources? And that is a judgment call, really. But a lot of the time, you have to dig deeper than just the source. You have to go back to primary sources, which I want to keep telling people. You can't trust an intermediary. The fact checkers and the media insert themselves like a priestly class that's, you know, it's interpreting God's word. Nope, you can't look at that. You can't read Latin. You know, that's what it says, and you can't prove otherwise. You have to go back to primary sources. And evaluating evidence generally involves that because you have to evaluate, you know, what is the source of the source? Where did the media get this information from? Where do the fact checkers get this information from? And quite often you will find that they are twisting the truth. And quite often, like we showed in the whole debunking with Snopes in the when we're on, I think it was that on Rose's show?
Yes.
I get that mixed up. Yeah, that was on Seal of Approval
I
actually.
think it was, yes.
But Snopes fact checked something and then disproved the fact checking of it. In its own description of the fact checking, which was the whole Bill Gates blocking out something. You know, it's just atmospheric engineering, guys. It's just, you know, solar, what do they call it? They call it solar radiation management, something like that.
Yes.
Hilarious.
It's not a Monty Burns-esque sort of plot at all. Ugh. Bill Gates. Oh, don't. I can go off on massive tangents about Bill Gates. We're not going to, but actually, you know what? I'm just looking through this Rasmussen University article about critical thinking, and it's essentially saying what we've both been saying
Yeah,
is
yeah,
that
yeah.
identify the biases of the actual sources of information you're looking at as you're doing the research. Work out what because everybody's trying to tell you a story. I'm trying to tell you a story. You know, we've all got our certain biases, you know,
Yeah.
and
Yeah,
work
that's
that out for yourself. N acknowledge that this person or this source is telling these sets of facts with a certain bias.
Yeah, it's what I suppose step four is what are the biases inherent in the argument itself? You got it. Sometimes there's a bias, you know, it's very when did you stop beating your wife? So,
Whoa.
sometimes the point being put forward will be hopelessly one-sided, and you can often attack points, you know, on the way that they are presented because they are presented in a way that is just hilariously biased on the face of it. So, what are the biases inherent in the argument? The biases in the evidence presented, and how, most crucially, how do they interact with my biases? Which really involves a level of self-examination. It's that last factor I think a lot of leftists and academics in general and wider people don't they don't take that step. They don't okay, how does this interact with my biases? Because they're all for talking about implicit bias and microaggressions, but they aren't willing to self-examine. And they aren't willing to say, okay, I have a very, very large anti-Trump bias. I need to evaluate news on that, on you know, on those grounds. That they don't have that self kind of exploratory step to it, which is quite important. And kind of critical thinking works hand in hand really with self-discovery and knowing what your limits are and knowing what your biases are. It is very, very essential to, as a subjective person, as a subjective actor, to try and limit your subjectivity as much as possible. That's why the whole objective journalism doesn't exist thing, so you shouldn't even try, is so pernicious. No, you should try. Just because things are imperfect doesn't mean you shouldn't strive for perfection. The harder you strive, the closer you'll get. You know, you will always fall short, but
Or
generally
you
you
can
will
never
get
attain it, but
closer.
it's not about attaining perfection. It's you know, it's about the journey, not the destination. It's about being better and better you know, every day in every way. You're getting better and better, without wanting to sound too much like a Clouseau-esque villain. Seriously,
Well, like I said,
old Inspector Clouseau's guys. Seriously, check out the original Inspector Clouseau movies.
it's great.
They're brilliant,
It's great.
all of them.
Yeah.
Herbert Lom is just fantastic as the inspector that's gone totally and utterly bonkers. Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
So the last thing you always do is you make a judgment.
Yes.
You pull all this together and you say, what judgment can I make from my own personal experience and knowledge? It's like, okay, on balance of evidence, trying to filter out as much bias and as much misinformation and as, you know, as much of my own prejudices as possible, what can I infer from this information? And can I say that this argument being presented is true or false? Can I say that this statement being made, this assertion being made, is correct or not? But you have to go through the steps to arrive there. There's skipping any of these is bad critical thinking. And it's really, again, it's the striving for objectivity that people seem to fall short of. Mm. It's, you know, the truth is whatever serves my agenda is what a lot of people are openly saying now, that the truth doesn't matter, that the pursuit of the truth doesn't matter, and that the ends justify the means when you are putting out something that you know is a lie. We have our biases, but I don't think, like, neither of us would ever willingly and knowingly say something that we know is false to simply win an argument.
No, because it's the worst thing you can do. It's not just bad practice. It backfires on you. And when it backfires on you, it destroys your argument. Yeah, it is an absolute known. Just do not do it. If you know something is false. Now, if you don't know something is false, if you think it's true and you say it and it is proved to be false, admit it, back away, go, you know what? I didn't realize that. But actually sort of knowingly giving out false information. And to win an argument in any way, giving out false information, it is you're detracting from your own credibility. In fact, you're not just detracting, often totally destroying your own credibility, and you will lend credibility to the very thing you've been trying to cast aspersions on. Which, if you're there busy there trying to prove that, you know, the Clintons or the Podestas or whatever are bad people, use the facts, use what you know is real, because by pulling nonsense up, yeah, you destroy your own credibility, and people then go, ah, oh, well, these people are talking nonsense. These people, you know, and you give credibility to the very people you actually, or the very thing you're trying to destroy the credibility of in the argument, or raise questions about in the argument, shall we say, is a better way of putting it. You've got to the truth. The truth will set you through. It is, you know, reality and truth is how you win. Yeah, because people will try to mislead. And when you catch them out, you then know that those people are lying scumbags. When, you know, when someone is proved to be a lying scumbag, you then go, the next time they decide to say something, their credibility is always shot. Remember that their credibility is always shot. And that's it, they're done. How people keep on reading the Washington Post, the New York Post, or the newspapers in general, all of them, they're all freaking awful. It doesn't matter which side of them on, they're all pretty awful these days.
But so that information vacuum is directly, bring it completely full circle, because directly what led to the fertile soil of something like QAnon.
Yes. Sharpening that Vox article up.
The Vox article, I think, isn't as bad. The Vox article is a bit long-winded and a bit shit.
Okay.
The one to bring up, I think, is the NBC article. I think that's from 2018.
Got it. Yeah.
Because the Vox one is just them re-going over a lot of stuff, some of which is good, some of which isn't. There isn't actually a lot to bite into then. We've been over a lot of it already. But NBC News came out with an article and said that they could trace the Q conspiracy theory to three people, apparently. What they did was they did 2 minutes of Googling and found some of the earliest videos on YouTube about it. They don't realize that YouTube is far, 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 far downstream of other platforms in a lot of ways. And that a lot of the primary stuff was done on places like 4chan. And it was the exposure of the mainstream to places like 4chan and 8chan that caused this, and not the fact that people were talking about it. That's a big thing the media does. The media mistakes discussion for causation. They think something being talked about on YouTube means that has been made whole cloth on YouTube. They don't understand how any of this works.
Yeah.
And I think that most of the coverage you will see about QAnon is useless because of this, because they think about this in old world media terms. They do not understand the environment that QAnon came out of, and it's an environment they helped create themselves. But it's a good example, because they just talk about, oh, we found these people, and these people are the people responsible for QAnon. you know, these, you know, the Anons and all of this, and all of it's not true, and all of these people are evil, and they're all Nazis, and
Oh,
you know.
the WWG1 WGA, where we go one, we go all kind of nonsense. Yeah,
It's
it's
all very, very, very basic, like
what?
vagueness. It's almost like a cold reading.
It's also a group psychology as well. You know, where you only need to get when you've got that group. And this is why they're so susceptible to psyops, is when you've got a group like that that are so buying into a particular narrative, it only takes someone running in and go, "Hi, I'm Q," and this, that, and the other. You know, meet us on the 6th of January. You know, and where we go all. Go for it, guys! And suddenly you end up with all manner of shit fucking cracking off and people doing crazy things because it only takes one to go for it, and the herd follows it. And unfortunately, it's a fact of nature is when you have large groups of people all sort of they start to act like a herd.
Yeah, it's to blame QAnon on the actions of three, frankly, irrelevant individuals rather than a vacuum of news and a vacuum of trust in news, leading people to latch onto places like 4chan where they don't have the critical thinking skills to evaluate information there. It's, I don't know. It kind of comes back to the whole logical razors of low trust plus too much information equals, you know, information short circuit. That's essentially what we're saying here. That's all we're saying. It's not some right-wing conspiracy to try and exploit stupid people into giving them buying your merchandise, although that did factor into it. You know, people did latch onto it and exploit these people, but that wasn't the root cause. And I think the mainstream media coverage of QAnon is useless. It's so useless because they just can't grasp the factors involved in any of this. And they just regurgitate their same tired narratives about Republican bad, Orange Man bad, Trump stoking the fires. This has very little to do with the Trump administration, honestly. Even if the Trump administration was very different in how it handled information, I think QAnon would have still happened, just because of the low trust in news. The low trust in news and the incongruities inherent in a lot of the raw leaks we got are what caused this. It's not the actions of the Trump administration or the actions of a few independent content creators. And I really, really hate that explanation because, again, it just feeds into the narrative of, you know, we need to censor social media more because if we'd censored it harder, QAnon wouldn't exist. It's like, no, your censorship is what caused it. It's what drove people who weren't equipped to deal with it to go to 4chan and 8chan. You took the boomers off Facebook. You threw them off Facebook. You made them not trust the platform, and so they went deeper down the rabbit hole when they were too old and too fuddy to know what they were doing.
Oh, poor
It
boomers.
is. It's
But yes.
and the rage and the excoriation of QAnon feeds into their paranoia. That's the thing. You are feeding their paranoia.
And yeah, no, and you end up with Q gaining traction. I just noticed that I think Sargon has started streaming somewhere else. God damn him.
I gotta say, we'll be done relatively
We
soon,
yes,
guys. So
we that yeah, we are.
we're reaching the we're nearly at the 2 hour point. We're kind of reaching the end of our stream here.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go over on another stream. There's a couple of pieces of news I want to talk about. We don't really have time for that right now.
Which one? The Iceland exec.
We'll go over that. We'll probably go over that on our next stream if we don't have time. We've got a few things we'd like to insert if we have a bit of extra space, just because they're more fun.
Yep.
But the one thing I want to cover at the end of this, with the whole QAnon thing, is that despite the specifics going wrong and despite people ending up believing in random conspiracy theories about lizard people, I think that the spirit of Q and harnessing that is actually relatively important. Like I said, what Q people deserve is sympathy and guidance. It's not people feeding into their paranoia by trying to censor them further, because that just, in their mind, proves them right. It's the
Oh, yeah.
central concept they have, the central concept and the central kind of premise of QAnon, in spirit, is actually correct. In the people above them, the establishment that tries to lie to them and censors the media and tries to throw them off social media, are evil. and that they carry out evil things as part of the course of being elites. That being an elite in modern society, that occupying a place of power necessitates you doing things that will compromise you in many cases. That is the problem. And yeah. They have successfully identified that, but they should look at that through the lens of Epstein and not through the lens of Pizzagate. And I think the central anger, the central concept of there is a moral decay in those in society above us, it's not a conspiratorial feeling. People try and dismiss that as, oh, it's just, you know, disenfranchised people will always feel that way. It's no, there is a lot of evidence that the elites are partaking in pedophilia. That so many of them get caught, like we'll probably talk about it at some point, but the whole Lincoln Project thing and half of their founders turning out to be elite pedophiles and all of that. They just keep appearing. It's like they fall out of the woodwork. They just come out of nowhere and they just like you end up with piles of these different cases. And yes, it is a pattern, and you can't say there is an overarching conspiracy theory, you know, with any degree of certainty, but the evidence definitely mounts. And you have to be able to filter out what is good evidence and what is bad evidence and what is reliable and what is not. But the central, the gut feeling that a lot of Q people have is true. A lot of the gut feeling that they have is that there is something rotten at the heart of our Western societies that ends up with a situation where people can almost ritualistically rape children. It's true. We have evidence of that. We've gone over the Epstein stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, I think the rush to disavow QAnon and the reluctance to properly examine it is a real failing.
Yes. Yes. I mean, going back to Kim Noble's art, Kim Noble's art is almost... It's certainly a good circumstantial evidence that these paedophile rings do ritualistically abuse, because that is what is depicted in her art, and she was a victim of these things. Yes. To say it doesn't exist is to acknowledge something that's right there in your face screaming at you. But to start conflating it into QAnon and Pizzagate, etc., you're taking big logical leaps that may just end up discrediting you in the process.
I would agree. I think we're kind of just over the 2-hour mark now, and we need to start winding down.
Fair enough.
Thank you guys for coming. We're going to do our regular shilling in the stream here. Cool. I think I've read all the donations. There hasn't been any in the last few minutes, so I'm going to cut my losses there, because I know sometimes you guys like to donate. Again, we have Super Chats open, and we have Streamlabs open if you guys want to do anything last minute.
Yep.
Links in the description. There's links to my Minds account. I post on there every single day. There's links to Trigg's Twitter and Minds account down there. There's a link to my Discord. There's a link to Thursday's aborted video. The power cut debacle. If you guys want to see what we said, we might have forgotten some stuff. So if you guys want more on this subject, there will be some stuff in there we didn't actually cover. We may have forgotten. Apart from that, is there anything else you want to show there, Trigg?
I have done. I said last time we were going to do a D&D with Uzulu and so on, and that was going to be streamed live. It didn't get streamed live last weekend. It did happen. It was recorded, and I think it's just being edited and smartened up. That will be taking place again tomorrow night. I don't know if it's going to be streamed then either, but either way, that is being recorded and will start coming out, and people will get to see me playing what is essentially a very angry and psychotic gun Geralt in a D&D campaign with Uzulu and some other people. And that should be really, really fun. My buddy Wes is DMing that, and he's actually a pretty good dungeon master or games master or whatever you want to call that specific thing. The people keep on going, oh no, it's not GM, it's DM, and in that particular game, whatever. It's been fun so far. It's only one episode, but that should be taking place tomorrow night, as I said. Other than that, no, I don't have anything else to show at this point in time.
Well, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for all your comments and support. We try and interact as much as we can. Like I said, it's been good. I know this is. We get shuffled around a lot because of scheduling issues and technical issues, but this has been our actually most successful Saturday stream we've ever had.
Yep.
So thanks for that. We're definitely still picking up. We haven't been censored yet completely by the YouTube algorithm. Like I said, we are monetized for now, but we'll see how long that lasts. I've had a couple of people asking about merch. I am going to put up maybe like a Teespring or whatever, or Redbubble, or I think it's Teespring's the best bet for that. I'm going to put up a few items, see if they get taken down. And yeah, there'll be some updates. Keep an eye on the community tab. I post community posts here at least a couple of times a week. There'll be a poll and a post and maybe some updates and a couple of memes. It's a good kind of little outlet. I know you guys like that. I get a lot of comments and thumbs up on that. So again, thanks for the interaction, and we'll see you guys next time.
Take care and think for yourself.
There we go. That was perfect.
That was